Alex. So there was no real reason for whatever their problem was, and it was sponsored by Princess Margaret, and she did a lot of work for the school. And I worked there for 18 months. And in the middle of this, Don was transferred back to Europe. And so we bought an apartment in South Kensington, which we moved into. And it was fascinating because while I've been working at this school as much of the time as I could, I've been going back to America. We used to work for 10 weeks and have 3 weeks off. And so I was, every 3 months, I'd be back in the States with Don and seeing what was going on. And this was the beginning of the young people coming into the Sufi order and the creation of Baba League. So I was involved in all of that in a peripheral way, but nonetheless, I was there when it was taking place. And I was still committed to working with the drug kids in London. And I got involved with the working with the Rolling Stones and the Faces and a few other groups who were very much into drugs at that point. And then, as I said, Don came over. And Don got involved with Delia's group. And I think Delia was very hesitant about having anybody else involved. I mean, everybody in Baba world is very territorially oriented, that real instinct for territory seems to come up. And I got involved too because as soon as we established the center, and it was an office that Pete Townsend had used, and Don and I paid the rent and the rates on for a period of time. And so a lot of kids who were involved in dope started coming and appearing in the office, and poor Delia, needless to say, freaked out a little bit about this, and I started counseling them and started giving a program. And that became a great problem, so I dropped that and stopped doing that. And one of the things I was doing, which was interesting, was Baba had given me the lives of some saints that he wanted me to study, Western Christian saints, which I'd done. And I started talking with some of these kids about it. I realized now it was crazy, but somehow it gave them a focus and worked.
Who were the saints?
I knew someone would ask that question. Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Francis,
Saint John the Cross.
no, Saint Paul, and the other one is not going to come to me. I'll tell you that one tomorrow because it'll come to me later.
How do you mean he gave you the?
He Baba specifically said these are the ones he wanted me to study and to read. Yeah, this was to be my focus, and he wasn't worried. Didn't give me specific instructions about reading other things, but those were
not while you're
no, 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 no. Later on, that will come later. It took some time for it. It took place, but it did. And so at that point, Baba had announced there was going to be the darshan to end all darshans, and I, for some reason, got involved. I'm always involved in travel arrangements, it seems. I got involved in chartering a plane to take as many of the British contingent as we could to last darshan, and we ended up, I think, with about 160 people. And we chartered the Whispering Giant and Bristol Britannia because that was the cheapest one we could charter to take us out to India. And the school I'd been working in, one of the children had thrown an enormous temper tantrum and hit me across the face with a hammer, and it shattered part of my nose. And I had severe respiratory problems, and I had balance problems, and I had a small abscess in the brain. And finally, through Hilde Halpern, who Don and I had been working with on a personal basis at that time, I think if I remember correctly, through Barbara guidance at that point. She's in England. She's a psychotherapist. She's, I would say, one of the top psychotherapists in the world. She deals with all sorts of people. Is a, yes, right, with the lady who died in India when I was here last time in a hospital in Bombay. Can't remember her name either at this moment in time. And Hilde also translated some of Barbara's work into German. Fabulous, fabulous lady. Incredible. Yeah, her husband died just a few weeks ago, but she's still very much alive, is Hilde. Husband was paralyzed in the neck down from a car accident, but still continued his work. was, he called himself an atheist, which I don't think he was, but he called himself an atheist, but he didn't mind Hilda's involvement with Barbara, which was wonderful. And lost my train of thought completely, started thinking about Hilda. And I, I didn't know this at the time, but there was a chance I would not come through it. And Don sent cables to Barbara, and Barbara sent cables back saying I was to have the last, to have the operation. And as I understand, and this may not be correct, that they were the last, one of the last, if not the last cables that Barbara ever sent. And I went in to have the operation, and I was really very scared.
It was January 69?
Yeah. I went in on January the 1st. January the 2nd, 1969. And because I was a psychologist in England, I got extra special treatment, which is very nice. And I had what's called the Queen Mother's Suite in the Royal Homeopathic Hospital. And as I went down on the gurney, I remember as we went in the operating theater, getting off the gurney saying, I don't think I'm going to have the operation. That's the last thing I remember. And then when I came to the next, I had the operation in the middle of the afternoon, and I came to about 12 hours later at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I had this wonderful Indian nurse, and the first thing she said to me was, I know who Maya Baba is. And apparently I've been saying his name all the time. That was the one thing I got to remember. And apparently even in the operating theater, because someone had asked who this Maya Baba was it some strange name or something? And it was just absolutely wonderful that this dear little girl was standing there, and she just, the first thing she said was, I remember asking for water, I was terribly thirsty, and of course you're not allowed to drink after that sort of operation. And she said, I know who Maya Baba is. And she told me later I'd been saying his name over and over and over and over again. And I was supposed to stay in hospital for 3 weeks. And I was really worried about that because I really wanted to get everything organized for Darshan and get everybody there. And I'd left all my notes and I was all prepared to go back. And then I'd have to spend, there was a real question as to whether I would be able to go to Darshan because I couldn't, may not be able to fly. Bob had said, have the operation. And within 5 days, I was out of the hospital. No one could understand this, quote, miraculous cure. And I had to lie at home, and I couldn't read. I wasn't allowed to use my eyes. I had absolutely no black eyes whatsoever, and everybody said I would have horrendous black eyes. And I was able to continue the work on getting everything organized, and I had a wonderful American friend who came in, who was a nurse, and she was there visiting, and she came in to help. And Bob Royton was there already studying. He's a Baba Lover, he's a Sufi. And it just, everything fitted into place. And then, of course, the word came from Delia one morning that Baba had finally physically left us, and that threw everybody into a tears. And I remember saying, Baba, I must have strength, and getting up and getting Don organized and getting a visa for him from the Indian embassy so he could come to. And then Delia decided she had to go. And I have to tell this story because it's just so beautiful to me. Between us, Hildy Halpern and I and her daughter Maria, who was then living in the apartment with her, managed to rouse up, I think it was £55. And we went over to get Delia organized, Maria and I, and Delia was just in such a state, she didn't know whether she was coming or going, obviously. And I said, Maria, I think you'd be a much more calming influence. And this is the first time I'd been out and I had to drive. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. And I said, Maria, I think you'd be a much more calming influence on Delia than I. You go talk to her and I'll pack. And I went to pack Delia's suitcase, which she said she'd packed. And all Delia had was underwear. She had no clothes in her suitcase at all. And I always remember that. And I remember getting her organized, getting her to the airport. And then she couldn't pay, because they wouldn't accept a check because it was Saturday and they couldn't verify it at the bank. And Frenny and Adi, who live in London, happened to be there. They were going on the same flight. And they verified that the check would be okay because Frenny's brother worked for Air India. And they held the plane and we got Delia on the plane. And I remember thinking, I really wish that I was going on the plane too. I really wish I was a part of this. Don had gone on Pan Am already. Don just took off. And that's Don's way. And we went back and we sat with Hildy and And I was saying something about, I just, you know, wish that I could have been there too. And she said, you don't need to be. He's with you more than he is with almost anybody. And it was true, and exactly the same thing happened that night as happened in Brussels, only for a very, very short period of time. Because I went back and I was in the flat and I wasn't in pain, I was just very uncomfortable. And for a split second in time, Barbara appeared with his arms just open, a smile, letting me know. And then chaos ensued, of course, and half the people didn't want to go, and this person didn't want to do this and this, and then Dom wasn't even sure, and was this the manifestation? And he went back to the States and came back again, and by this time he'd split completely with Ivy and was no longer a Sufi. And he came back again, talked with Delia, and finally it was decided I had to go away for a week's rest because I had to convalesce further. And just before my birthday, I went off with a friend to Mallorca, which is an island off Spain, which is normally fairly warm, and survived that very successfully. So I came back, and it was decided we would come to Darshan. So we came, and we... Actually, it was a very interesting flight. I went to Amsterdam for a day, then flew down to join Don in Rome. And we were driving through the streets of Rome, and I said, oh, there's Claude, who is someone I knew from Paris. And we stopped the car and arranged to meet him later for drinks, which we did. And this is the Claude that Don now lives with, yeah. Don had never met him before that time. And we came off to India and got here and came up to Pune and were staying at the Amir Hotel. And we came out to the tomb, and I remember I was in there, and Anna Vaz and another lady who I don't remember, and the three of us were literally hysterical. I mean, just letting go with sobs. And Don and one of the Luck brothers were standing outside having a big argument about this, that, and the other to do with drugs and what Barbara had said about drugs. And I really did lose my temper. And I went outside, and I just laid into Don. And that night when we were back in Pune, Don laid into me, and, you know, I was just tired of this, and he couldn't stand this, and I was always telling him off in front of people and about, and anyway. And suffice to say, by the time I went on from here to Hong Kong and then across to San Francisco, because I had to check on what I was going to do, and whether I was going to go back and go and do a PhD in school there or what I was going to do. And then by the time I got back to London, Don and I were fini. And that was that. So that was the story of Barbara and me up to that point, and Don. I think that should give you enough to... Go on, and good. I'm glad. And on a sort of last basis, as far as I personally am concerned, Barbara has put me in some of the strangest places in the world. I don't understand why, and I don't question why. I did to start with, and I got myself into trouble. And now, when someone calls up and says, "Well, there's a project in so and so. Would you be interested in being a part of it?" I automatically say yes. I never ask any more questions. And I've ended up in China, where I met someone who met Barbara in the 30s. And he would not talk about it. They have to be very careful and very cautious talking to foreigners, especially when I first went there. I haven't seen this particular man since. But I have Barbara's picture, which Barbara blessed and gave to me himself, which I normally carry with me. And he saw it in my room and just let me know very quietly that he'd met him in China, and that was all he said, and I figured, okay, that's that one over. And there's been many, many instances like that, and I've worked in Haiti and in China and in Ireland and in Copenhagen and in France and in Tokyo. Just sort of goes on endless. Well, I'm in private practice now in California, and I've done all sorts of things. I worked at Clawson House, which, if you saw the movie that Nita bought, I don't know whether you saw it, which is about what I did there. And I've set up programs in Montreal and in California and in France and in Ireland and Australia. I did a lot of work in Australia for a while. And in China, I've helped set up their programs for mentally retarded. In Haiti, I'm working on self-help projects, which is like India was when I first came. Terrible state. And I had one fascinating experience. I went to Japan, and I'd never been to Japan before, and I just knew I wanted to go to Kyoto. That was the place I wanted to go, and just outside of Kyoto is this wonderful spiritual place where they have I think it's the biggest enclosed Buddha in the world, and for some reason I wanted to go see it. And I went, and they had a typhoon the day I went, and it was absolutely desolate, and the rain was just pouring down, and I have a real funny story, my mink coat, which I drag with me everywhere, and I get to wear in the strangest places. It's been my savior many, many times over. And so I was standing waiting to go into the temple, and they had these beautiful tiny deer that are imported originally from India, the tiny little baby deer. And one of them was nibbling at my coat, and I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And I looked around, and there was Baba standing there in the pouring rain. With open arms and a big smile. Right in Nara. And I went in afterwards to see the big Buddha, and of course it was the biggest letdown in the world. There's absolutely no point or purpose in going to see this Buddha. So I've learned now you don't go and look at Buddhas or anything else. Baba gave us very strict instructions that any time we came to India to see him, we were not to go sightseeing. We came and saw him and left. So I've never been mayor, and the last time I was here was quite amazed. I'd never seen the Taj Mahal, and I'd never seen Delhi. And it's just fascinating. Yesterday, I had another, what I call one of my Baba things. I had this thing about going to the Ellora Caves, and I talked to Marnie, and she said, yes, go, it'd be wonderful, go. And there was a real insistence in her voice, so I decided I'd go, and Bill and Mary, who I brought with me, it was their wedding anniversary yesterday. And we said, well, we'll sort of go when we're ready, and I've been talking with Dara in the morning, and he said, oh my God, it's a good 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive, and the road's a very bad one, and it's going to take forever, you should have left at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm saying, my God, what have we done? So at 8:45, no one was up, and Nancy was going to go with us, and she was ready to go, so I said, come on, Nancy, let's go. And at that point, Bill appeared and said, you're going without us? And I said, yes, we've got to go. I just know we've got to go. And we were about 30 miles from Aurangabad, and the fan belt broke on the car. And this one little garage couldn't fix it. And then we drove to this other little village, and this man could fix it, but he limped because he had a problem. And it was just unbelievable. It was a typical Baba situation. And 3/4 of the village appeared, and our driver said, you know, we were Maya Baba devotees, and this was the village where they worshipped Ganesha, and I wasn't quite sure whether we were going to be cut up into bits or whether we'd be worshipped or whatever. I mean, it was really strange, and everybody was coming and peering in the car, these white people, which they obviously had never seen before. So anyway, we got out of there, and we got into Aurangabad, and we couldn't find the hotel we wanted to have lunch at, and I just felt I had to go to this hotel and have lunch. I mean, everything was totally wrong. Well, we finally got to the caves. And as we were driving up to the caves, I said, well, if I come to the caves, well, I don't want to see the caves. Well, I'm slightly bit interested in seeing these caves. I never had any interest in seeing these caves. And we drove up, and of course, there's all the guides and the touts and everybody standing around. And I said, Archie, just drive up, and I'll tell you when to stop. And so Archie drove up. And I said, stop here, because there's a tree and there's a nice shade, and we'll go in that cave there. And Nancy and I went dancing to the cave, and she was saying her mantra about beloved Baba. And she went way to the back and found this fabulous statue of Buddha. And I'm trundling around, and there's this German couple who are shining their light in the back so we can see it. And I'm thinking, you know, what is this all about? And we came out of there, and there's this English woman saying, now this Sanskrit word, it means what? And she said avatar, and as she said avatar, I said Maya Baba. And Nancy and I looked at each other in the gloom, and we wandered around for a few more minutes, and I said, Nancy, do you want to see anyone in these caves? And she said, no. I didn't really want to come in the first place. And I said, no, neither did I. You know, we just came for that woman. That woman had to hear Baba's name. And I said, that's why the timing had to be so perfect. And he did it. And I said, I am so mad at myself that I didn't see earlier that this was another Baba thing. And we got in the car and came back in an hour and a half. And I have had so many things like that happen to me. Time and time and time and time again in this life of being with Baba. And, you know, you just realize that you had to be there at that particular time in that particular place. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And, I mean, if someone said to me now, would you like to go and see the caves? I'd say, no way. No, it's not interesting. But I had this mad urge that I had to go see those silly caves. And I couldn't tell you what the caves are like. Just one of those absolutely fascinating things that takes place.
is when Baba was in the body, you felt a certain love, and although you weren't with him physically, you still related in a certain interior way with him.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's dropped the body, I was interested in how your relationship with him, how you experience and feel him.
No different. Let me tell you a story that perhaps will answer that one best of all. And that is, I had promised Barbara at some point I would bring my puppets to do for him. And when I came to Last Darshan in 69, I of course finally brought them. And we did them in Guru Prasad, and Mara was there. And I think I was one of the, not the first, but one of the first Western men to see Mara. I got a glimpse, Barbara gave me a glimpse at one point.
In 69, you mean, or before?
No, in 59, 60. I don't want to talk about that because that's just too personal. But at any rate, in 69, we were there, and I was going to do the puppets, and I brought the tape recorder. And of course, all the little things that go wrong went wrong, needless to say. And afterwards, Mara was sitting crying, but crying not in a negative sense, in a positive sense. And she said that Baba was sitting in his chair. And that was exactly my impression, that Baba was sitting there. I had no sense of him not being there in a physical sense. And it's sort of like the clue that Baba gave us is that he is always with us. And there have been so many times when, from my perspective, I have needed Baba. And in my terminology, in my sense of things, physiologically, he is right there. Now,
tangible,
he may not be...
Tangible.
Yeah, really tangible. He may not be tangible in the sense that you sitting right in front of me at this moment in time and tangible. But he is tangible nonetheless, I'm notwithstanding.
And actually, perhaps more so than other gross beings are.
Because the energy is so different and the love is so different and the love is so powerful. It is like, as I spoke earlier, of the two occasions, and there have been others, but physically he was there with me. And it wasn't an ectoplasmic idea, it wasn't a ghost, it wasn't an apparition. It was real and it was true. And whether it was because he felt that I needed that in some way, shape or form, I don't know. And I really don't care. All I know is that it happened and that's what I experienced. And that's the value of it for me.
You feel, I know some people have said that before Baba dropped the body, they would think of, where's Baba? And he's at Mirzad. And then after he dropped the body, it's Kumar. I was talking to her earlier today, said that he felt like Baba came out of the cage. And now he experiences Baba with him more and everywhere, so to speak.
That's interesting. I think from my perspective, I just always experienced Baba, period. Mm-hmm. Since that very first second. Mm-hmm. And there have been times when I have felt, because of what was going on for me, distanced from Baba. Because of my growth and development. And as I said, I've always had the sense that in 62 that perhaps I wasn't allowed to come and be here. I could be wrong, but that's my experience. And there have been times when I've experienced that I've had to go out and do things. And that my link has been strong, but it's been more distant, simply because Barbara wanted me to do that, so that was a part of my repertoire. There have been some things that I've done that I've thought about, and I thought, my God, what will Baba think if? And as I got to the if part, I have thought, I've stopped and said, there is no thinking. Baba knew that I did that. And at some point, that will come in useful. And Jack, the most amazing thing for me in this 23 years I've been with Baba is I can think of almost no time when an experience that I have been through, either on a voluntary basis, or that I put myself and deluded myself in some way, shape or form getting into it, that it hasn't been used by Baba in some way, shape or form. And there are so many times that I have been working with people or involved with people, that if I hadn't had that experience, as negative as it may have seemed at the time, there is absolutely no way on God's earth that I know about intellectually, emotionally or psychologically, or even with my limited spiritual knowledge, that I would have been able to help that person had I not have had that experience. And I've had the sense of so many of my experiences that Baba has been right there. Not so much to give the okay, but just to push you through the experience.
And to give you the certainty and the security of his love.
Right.
Dear,
that you have to go through that. I mean, one of the perfect examples for me around this is that when I was doing a course, Albert, who was then doing all the experiments with drugs, asked for volunteers. And of course, Big Mouth volunteered. And I went through the whole thing for 3 months. And I was the only person out of 30 people who was totally on placebos the whole way through. I never once got a drug.
You found that out later.
Yeah, much later. But everybody else had LSD and various potencies and all sorts of other things. And not once did I get one. I had placebo the whole way through. Absolutely amazing. And there have been, I mean, literally thousands of incidents like that where Baba has just pulled me through. I mean, there have been accidents. There's been unbelievable situations. I was involved in a hijacking. And it took place right in front of me in the co-pilot came out from the cabin and clobbered the guy with the axe. And I have sat with the guy's head in my lap as we landed, saying Baba's name. And I got questioned by the FBI because they were sure that I was involved because I cradled this guy rather than killing him. I mean, you know, that's that. The guy said to me many times, he said, "Why the hell didn't you kill the son of a bitch?" He actually said something else, but son of a bitch will do for now. And it was just amazing. And so many incidents and so many times I've been in situations. And I said, you know, okay, Barbara, I'm here. What do I do now? And it's like, you either got a kick in the seat of your pants or you get a gentle push or someone would take your hand. And you know that that's Barbara. There's just no two ways about it. So for me, Barbara has always, on a continuum, been exactly the same.
In terms of your individual relationship with him, I remember he said somewhere that I will show you how to move in the world.
Right, absolutely. That's always there.
And a continuous sort of flowing of feeling.
It's like an energy flow is the way that I describe it.
You're not to make an effort. It's like sort of continuous.
Yeah. One might make an effort in the sense of I might be dealing with someone in a very difficult basis and I will think to myself, I really want to push this person. I don't care if they go out of this office mad at me. I don't care if they go out of this office absolutely furious with me and say they're never going to come back again. I feel, and it's like
more.
That underneath part comes up and says, go.
The inner self.
And there are funny little things that will happen. I have a young man who I've adopted in Hong Kong who's of Eurasian descent and has lots of problems because of that. Sorry, I keep hitting that mic. And he does. He does. Absolutely has kept his promise. As far as that, he has kept his promise 100% and beyond that 100%. He actually loved me and I sit there and say, oh.
Could you just say that again?
Sorry.
Okay,
Baba used to tease me and he used to pat me and say, come on, tell me, how much do you love me? How much do you love me anymore today? And I'd say, Baba, I love you 101%. How can I do more? And then we used to get these little jokes and the letters going backwards and forwards. It was 101.25% and 101.5% and really pushed that. But it's really true. I mean, there is the percentage and the strength of Baba's love is there on a constant basis. And you're right, whether it's the big dramas, whether it's the hijacking, or whether it's trying to decide whether to have a cheese sandwich or go out and have a good dinner, Baba comes and helps you with it.
No.
Can I just go back to something? You said when Baba was taking you around the garden,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you were asking about the plant, that little mare had done all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you saw her from a distance?
No. At one point, Baba took me out into his garden. I mean, I was always asking questions. Yeah, Don wasn't with me at this particular time. And I guess I would say, I mean, one of the questions I'm dying to ask Erish is, how did Baba handle people asking him dumb questions, thinking of myself at this point? Because I'm sure I asked Baba a lot of really dumb questions. And we've been all the way around and everything. And we've been talking about flowers and garden and beauty and I mean, you know, nothing really esoteric, don't get me wrong. We've just been talking about the basics. And Baba and I walked out to the end of the hall and stood, and Baba said, "And this is, you know, these are some of the most beautiful flowers in my garden, and that," and he was gesturing, "and that is the most beautiful flower." And at that point, Mara walked across the terrace.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right, right. I'll tell you another funny story around this issue, and that was that Baba had said we were not to take photographs of the women, Mandali, whoever was there, because I met Naja and Ranu. I mean, all of them except Mara. I'm pretty sure I saw Mara too. I could be wrong on that. Anyway, this particular story, I was taking pictures of Peter, because Peter would just wander backwards and forwards and in and out at will. And Peter used to come around the back, and I heard Peter coming, and I got my camera ready, and I took several pictures as he came around. Unfortunately, at the same time, Mani came around. See, and so I, without thinking, took pictures of her. None of the film came out. And they didn't have X-ray machines in those days. You know, Baba? None of the pictures at all on that roll of film came out.
Did you take other pictures?
Yep.
Do you still have those
negatives?
Yep.
Because...
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the things with this is such a large book.
Right.
It's going to be a photo library. Mm-hmm. As well. Would you?
Sure, of course. I will go through all the bits and pieces. I don't know whether I have all the negatives. I certainly have some of the negatives. Don has some of them too. He has the garland too that Baba gave me. Difficult situation there. We won't get into that. That's personal. But this energy you were talking about, Jack, I just think is so important. And it's so difficult for some of us to really understand and focus on the fact that Baba really is there. And, I mean, even I've been in situations where if I'd had the senses sit still for 2 seconds and let Baba take over, it would have been 1,000 times easier. But, of course, I didn't. And, you know, one has, as Baba said, he likes people with strong egos because he gets to work better through them. And I certainly have a strong ego, hopefully not in the negative sense of the word, but it's certainly there.
Well, there's a difference between a strong personality, a strong character, and a strong ego.
Mm-hmm. Such a terribly personal time for me. So you have lunch with... No, I mean, I've...
Well, this is... anything about maybe
death. No, you see, that's another thing. I didn't really know what your whole project was.
I don't know if you know the story, but about exactly 1 week before Baba dropped his body, he gave instructions to Bao to write his biography.
Uh-huh.
And Bao did that after Baba dropped his body. And it's quite a large book. It's like 5,000 pages.
Uh-huh.
It's about 20 volumes.
Oh, heavens.
It's really, it's such detail.
Yeah.
That... the Australians and everybody's mentioned in there, but I just about didn't get a chance to collect information from everybody. Mm. So as people come here, I was talking with them, there are a few more incidents or something that they feel would be worthwhile to include in Baba's biography.
Oh, I see. Oh, I didn't even know anything about that.
It's quite a large book. So the thing about the East-West getting is, I just had a few questions, but I would also be interested in where it's starting in years. Mentioned there along with coming with the group, but you see, for the reader, there's no background information of how you came. It sort of ties in with how you heard, at least
how I heard what about the East West Gathering?
Through Baba. See what happens is there's so many names mentioned in this book.
Yeah.
So detailed, but what I've tried to do is like instead of just here's a name, it's like this person heard from that, and that's how in just one or two lines, but, so that. It sort of all kind of fits in together.
Yeah.
Like more than. Because I mean, I feel it's interesting to do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, just briefly, but first let me just get your full name. Do you have a middle name?
Yeah, but is that necessary? I don't want my full name to go down in something like that. I mean, I'm just Judith to everyone in the Baba world. My middle name is just it's not important.
Yeah,
that's just a passport thing.
Right.
Surely.
Do the date of your birth?
No, I don't mind. I mean, most people know how old I am anyway. 7th of February, 1921.
21?
Yeah, so I'm nearly 62 right now.
I would have guessed 52.
Nay.
But anyway, you mentioned just that you had heard about Baba in 1961.
Right.
And was that through Francis or through...
No, through... Francis was here. At that point.
But you were living in Sydney.
Yes, I was living in Sydney.
So,
And I met Bill LePage in a business association, and he told me about Baba.
And had you always been sort of interested in spiritual things?
No. Yes, in that direction it was. I mean, I was brought up in the Church of England, but I never really found satisfaction in that, I suppose, and there were family situations which didn't help very much. But I always believed in God, but without any conscious searching, you might say, in that direction, like so many young people these days have such a strong feeling that they're trying to find something in their lives. I didn't have that feeling at all. And yet, as Baba says in one of the discourses, that everyone is always searching for happiness, which may be called this, that, or the other. And in that sense, I always was very conscious of beautiful things. I always, natural things. And in 1959, I think it was, I went overseas to Europe with one of my sisters. And I remember looking back on it all that time that I was probably looking for something. Mm.
Yeah.
But I was not conscious of what it was that I was looking for in so many words.
Mm-hmm.
But that I did gain much from so much beauty that I saw in different places, natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And great art where I saw some, just little things like that. But not in a what might be strictly called, referred to as perhaps a religious sense.
So when this came about that you all were going to be able to go to India, were you certain of who Baba was at that point? Or?
Well, I didn't know about, when I first met Bill, I didn't know about the East-West Gathering coming off. It was only some months after that. But
mm-hmm. So by that time, you still weren't sure, until you'd met Baba, that you were a Baba.
I don't know. I think I did accept him very quickly, or comparatively quickly, from what I'd read and from what Bill had told me. I'm not in the least an intellectual person, so that I was never bothered about that side of it. But from what I read, I might have asked him some questions, general sort of sense. But what I did read just meant so much to me. It was just so beautiful and so complete and so logical that I just accepted it like that straight away. It was
So were you part of the group that had to come by ship?
Yes, yes.
And you were in Ceylon?
Colombo, yes. We came to Colombo. I was one who actually flew from Colombo in the end to Bombay, because there were all sorts of internal problems. The war broke out with China and all the internal flights were cancelled, and everyone was supposed to get off in Colombo and fly, and then that was all blown.
Yeah.
Well, no, not the whole, except for Bill and a young chap from Victoria, and Anthony Thorpe from New Zealand, and Reg Paffel.
They all,
that's right. Anthony Thorpe was here when we arrived, I remember now, in Pune. But the rest of us came by sea.
But by sea means from Australia to Colombo by sea?
Yes, from Sydney.
What was the reason for doing that? Was it cheaper in those days?
Well, there was no thought of airfares would have been beyond everyone.
Okay.
I mean, fares were so expensive in those days, and there was because of the group, there was a discount. Through the P&O line that we came on. Yes, they had to because of the time limit for their work. They couldn't afford to be away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took 3 weeks to get here and 3 weeks to go back, plus the 5 weeks, plus the 2 weeks we were here, 10 days. So we were away nearly 2 months, which, of course, people in senior positions like Bill and Reg couldn't afford to do.
So about how many were there?
I wouldn't be accurate now, David, but I think probably about 23, 24, something like that.
And from Colombo, you Yeah,
well, they managed to get just a few seats on one of the main, the big international airlines going through.
Mm-hmm.
And because, and they sort of drew lots as to who would go on it, apart from the ones who hadn't met Baba before. I think there were perhaps half a dozen or something
who hadn't
met Baba before, and they were automatically, no, it couldn't have been half a dozen, only two or three. And then there were so many other seats, I can't remember, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they drew lots amongst those who had already met Baba for the ones who would get those seats, and then we eventually took off hours later.
So then did you actually arrive in Pune a little bit late?
No, I didn't. No, we were on time because the rest of the people on the ship had to then travel by sea to Bombay, which took 2 days. So that they didn't get there until the, would have been the 2nd of November. It started on the 1st, you remember.
Did you see Baba on the 31st?
Yes, on the 31st night.
Afternoon or night?
Night.
Because he called the women.
Yes, but it was then a mistake we found out. We were all waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing happened. And then the message came through hours later that it was a mistake, that Baba had called the men, not the women. So we were just waiting at the hotel.
You mean the Australian men in the afternoon? Or what?
Well, I mean, I don't know what other men were there, but the Australian, Francis and the other men went.
And then you came?
Late, it was about 5:30, 5:45 or something when we got the message.
So was Bob in the hall of Kurpasar or the side room?
Mm-hmm. No, in the hall, the main one. Mm.
Do you remember it? What was her first year?
That's something I can't tell.
Because it's one of the only places that we're directly quoted from people is about their first meeting with
Baba.
Where, I mean, other, we just fit it into the story, but direct quotes from people are just used when they first meet Baba, their first impressions. And if you have any.
Well, David, I have been asked, well, not many times, but a few times over the years by different ones. But I can never, ever find words. It is so, so terribly, so very, very deep, so personal, so much I feel just between myself and Baba at that moment that I still can't put it into words for anyone.
Well, that much I can say.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything Baba might have said to you personally?
That on that meeting? No.
It
was just an embrace. And because there were a number of us, I've forgotten how many. And Bill and Francis and Erich were there, and Bill just gave the names of each. We were sort of in a line, if I remember rightly, and he just said, oh, this is so-and-so, and then we'd get up and go to Baba. But there was no personal discussion or anything like that.
Did you tell them?
I don't remember.
Do you remember coming to Ahmednagar to see all these?
Oh yes, yes. That was after the East West Gathering was finished. I think it was on the 6th.
Did all the Australians come?
There was a bus. We had a bus or something, and we all came together. Except maybe one or two who were sick. I'm not sure about that now.
Because. It says in the record that because some of the Australians came late, Baba gave them an additional day. It might have been the 7th.
I don't think it was immediately following I never really heard about that.
You were still here.
No, but I'm not sure. I heard that Baba had given those who were late some extra time, but I don't know which day it happened.
Yeah. So one place says the 6th afternoon, but the other place said everybody went to Ahmednagar 6th afternoon.
I think it was the 6th, because the East-West Gathering, the 5th, as I remember it, was on the Monday. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it ended the 4th.
It ended the 4th, that's right. Well, then we had a day rest day sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we left very, very early in the morning, 5:30, 6:00 or something, in this bus and came first to Naga, um, I think we, would we have arrived? No, I can't remember whether, I remember that we had to go to Sarosh and Vilu's. Yeah. They had a meal arranged for us. But we probably went to Maribad first, I imagine. Then to Sarosh Vilu, yeah. And then on to Marizad, and then back.
But do you remember the St. Barbara's went after these first times? Yeah, did you actually go?
Yes, on one afternoon, which I can't remember, where just a few of us were called to sing a few songs to him. And then the only other time I saw him was the morning that he allowed us all to say goodbye to him under the Babajan's tree.
Yeah.